The Lord has redeemed us from this evil, perverse world so that we can walk in a worthy manner, that will bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ, because He stands before the Father interceding for us, and He rejoices over each one of us. Every time we have a desire and take a step to please Him, He is representing for us, and He'll be very happy, very glad. I would like to read a verse in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, therefore, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious good news is this, that the whole world was destroyed once upon a time. God was so displeased by looking at people's lives, and much more He was grieved that He created these people and they had turned against Him, or they didn't walk in a worthy manner before our God. But here Jesus has redeemed us. Means the God's anger was removed. Maybe verse 9 says that God's wrath was removed. That is salvation. That means a person is under God's anger, and Jesus comes and gives Himself to that anger, and that anger fell on Jesus Christ, and that we will be rescued from the fire, brand plucked from the fire. Now, how much we should be rejoicing, happy, that's what it says. Verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction. See, by Jesus. Jesus is reintroducing, so to say, that we were introduced, means we were known by God to God, that we're all sinners, not pleasing to Him, going on our own way. But here, the Lord Jesus cleansed us, washed us, justified us, and is now we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. The grace came through Jesus Christ. This grace, this power, like we read that memory verse, when you receive the Holy Spirit, the power will abide by you, then you will be a witness on this earth for God's glory. So that is the purpose. By faith into this grace in which we stand, not only stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Exult means joy. Inexpressible. We are supposed to be rejoicing. That's why Paul also says, he writes from a jail. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Again I say unto you, rejoice. He was so burdened that people are caught up with so many things what's happening around them, and they are losing their birthright of that joy. We stand in this August month looking back as a church of 51 years ago. Brother Zach and Brother Ian responded to this grace, this introduction. Means like they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were so, means like their eyes were open to a greater realm or height where, oh, this is not the way to live life. We can live still a better life, and we can have a church like God's own family, like Peter says in 1 Peter 3:8. We should be a happy big family and living for God, bringing glory to Him as a witness and putting Satan to shame. But that's the calling. Like we look back those 51 years that God, the Lord has led us, given us shepherds, given us hygiene teaching, hygiene treatment, we can say, that which has helped us to recover our life and be a better witnesses, to live a healthy life. This life which says, we exult in hope of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Life of Jesus abiding with us through this grace by faith. And that's what started 51 years ago. And we are witnessed with those who have walked that way and found that grace and found that glory of God. And we exalt. In fact, verse 11 says like this. Verse 10, I will start. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. See, this is talking about we exalt in what the Lord has done. We rejoice in what the Lord has done. That's our birthright, brothers and sisters. Satan may try to put so many things across, and our self may try to pull us down, our flesh, and many things may go wrong in the world. But we should not forget that God is the perfect controller, and nothing happens to His child without His permission. He is an absolute sovereign controller, and don't ever think that, oh, something is happening because of somebody or Satan or the world. Nothing. But God is allowing so that we look to Him and come out clean, without any defilement, and exult in, we are saved by His life. That's how He is leading us. That is about the past. We are cleansed. And verse 2, we saw that with the hope, we have a hope that by His grace and faith, He is going to help us to gain the glory of God. That is a character of Jesus Christ. This is what we must look as we are entering into another anniversary year. We have to, like we read that memory verse, we have to walk in a worthy manner as per our calling. God has called us to live a rejoicing life, not a gloomy life. But where is the gloom? Where is the weeping? When we sleep, when we are not walking according to the calling we have. I would like to read that verse, maybe verse 11 first and verse 2 in Living Bible. Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends with God. What a rejoicing truth it is, and the gospel. And verse 2, for because of our faith, He has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has had in mind for us to be. Amen to that. That means what we are saying is, yes, the Lord has brought us, so we rejoice. Not only that, we have a bright future, wonderful future. Oh, things are collapsing. Oh, things are deteriorating in the world. Of course, It has to happen. There is no Acche Dinu like this. Means world will collapse. It's foretold. It's the controller of the world will be defeated, thrown. We all know his destiny. We are not unaware of his schemes, whatever he does. But the thing is, we are called to walk in a worthy manner. Because we have been redeemed. And not only that, we have been given the power, the presence of God's Spirit with us, that we can walk in a worthy manner. But we not only rejoice in what the Lord has done to reconciling us to God, not only that, we have a bright hope. Our future or our children, we can tell our children, see, things will go better. We continue to trust the Lord, the one whom we trust. He will never disappoint us. So that is what our kind of future hope is. That's our calling. And I would like to think about Jesus. See, Jesus, the one who manifested that kind of life to stand in the gap between God and us. He stood. Now, he has made a way for us so that we can walk that way, that we stand in the gap. And also, we will be a witness for the Lord. See, that is what God is expecting. It's not that, God is going to give us a nice life, happy life. No, not that. That's not the goal. The goal of our life is that we will be witness in this evil world. Whatever Satan does, in fact, we see in the first book, that's life of Job, when God wanted to show that to people. This is the life I have endorsed. I'm so happy about the life of Job. And looks like only one in the whole world. It's almost like a situation as it was in Noah's time. Oh, Job is the one who stands. But there are so many adversaries. But on top of that, God says to Satan, okay, you can take a chance and test him little more. Okay, I'll allow you to test him more. He will come out as a witness for me. See, there itself we see the purpose of our life. It's not that easy life, nice life we will have. No. All that we'll have in heaven. Like I remember Brother Zach saying that, I think somebody said, brother, you worked enough and you can rest. He said, no rest for me now. I will go and rest in heaven. I don't have time to rest. As much as possible, I want to live for the Lord and serve His people and help people to turn to God and help them to stand in a worthy manner and walk in a worthy manner. They should be seated on a heavenly place. That is what Jesus has paid the price to get that position for us. That's a goal, brothers and sisters, as a church. But see, we are not here to gather people, have picnic and a nice time. It's not the nice time. It is to build fellowship, encourage to become like Jesus. Become like Job, even Noah. He stood in the gap. He was mocked, ridiculed. 120 years, he preached righteousness. What is righteousness? He said, God, get right with God. Get right with God. Then God will be happy. Bring pleasure to God. Scripture says, Noah found favor in the sight of God. God was disappointed about everything what was happening. But see, God, he stood in the gap and he brought pleasure to God. That's what we see in Noah's life. How they responded to God's calling and also God's voice. That's what our calling as a church, brothers and sisters. That's what we are aiming at. And I want to do my best. Lord, I will fail if I don't stand or filled with your strength, I will fail. On my own, I am nothing. On my own, what I can do best? On my own, I can sin better. That's all. On our own, we can sin better. That's our capacity. By God's strength, we can be righteous a little better. We can bring pleasure to God a little more. That's what, by God's strength. So God wants us to live in this earth, live in this world to bring pleasure to Him. That is called being witnesses. That's why God has promised everything in the scripture. If you go on throughout the scripture, especially New Testament, our calling is to be a witness. That is why we call our church as Christian Fellowship Church, because it's a church is a gathering of people who wants to encourage one another in fellowship to be a better witnesses. But that is not possible by our own strength. So Jesus said in Matthew 16, let's turn to Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus was saying that, he was telling Peter, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and gates of Hades will not overpower it. See, there is lots of opposition, and Satan is the ruler of this world, God of this world, but he cannot overpower you, Peter, when I fill you with my spirit and build you into my church. Not only Peter, all those apostles, and it continued until today. Jesus is building his church. It's not man. Man cannot build God's church. Only Jesus can build it. Jesus, first he has to cleanse the person's heart and mind, and he has to reconcile him with God and clothe him with his power and make him totally kind of no capacity of his own. That's why the first thing what we need to do is get out of our throne. Means there is a throne in our heart. All the way we were sitting, and one fine day Jesus says, unless you get out of that place, I cannot do anything in your life. And then we should come to our senses and say, Lord, I will give you this place. And we get out of that throne, and Jesus, through his spirit, he sits. Then he will build his church. Such people only are built into the church. Not all those who break bread and come together and all that. Not really that. How many disciples here with whom Jesus is happy, whom Jesus is building? You know, that's where I have to check my own heart every day. Lord, is my heart right with you? Will you be able to build me, Lord? And Jesus is working in each one's heart so that we will be built into his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. That church, Satan cannot do anything. But somebody comes, oh, I'm in the gathering. See, it's like this body is healthy because I have an immune system fighting. So there are organs which are working strongly to support my body. But it's all connected to the head. It's all connected to the body. But no organ is living for itself. It's living for the body. But I have a shirt here. But do you call this? This shirt is a protection. Maybe spectacles. It will help me. Help the body. But it is not part of the body because it is not connected to the brain. It is only a covering. But body, it's not built into the body. So if anything is connected to the head, only is built into the body. If it is not connected to the nervous system or to the head, it will not be built. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some as apostles and as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints of the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. See, very clear here, Paul is saying. And I want to be really thankful. Even yesterday evening, I was talking to some young people, how you are preserving yourself. I say, I want to make my best to keep myself in the body. I have to humble myself and subject to my boundary, God-given boundaries, whether it's financial matters or any other matters, relationship matters. I have to keep my heart clean so that I want to be built into the body, remain in the body. Then only, because of that, I'm protected. Then all this, like apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds, all of them, God has given. I'm so thankful. It's been 29 plus years I'm here in this church. I've been saved about 30 years. But God has protected me and given me a sense and mercy on me so that I can remain in the body of Christ. Under the authority of godly shepherds and teachers, evangelists, and that's the protection. So I have a kidney or liver. Protection is, it is in the body. But it is living for the body. But if I take out and keep it outside, cannot even sustain for however effective organ it is to the body. If I keep it outside, it will die in a second. That's so we are all, I may say, okay, I'm an elder. What does that mean? Elder can be thrown out anytime. Anytime if he doesn't keep himself in the body, under the subjection of the head, under the subjection of other parts. See, it's not only head. When we are in the body, under the subjection of so many organs are supporting. That's how it is protected. That's the purpose. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. You know, all, even sisters, brothers, even children, they contribute. They contribute as long as they keep their heart right with God. Everyone can contribute to the building of the body of Christ. That is the joy we have here. And I'm thinking about, maybe next 10 years if the Lord tarries. Yes, we have to be effective witness for the Lord. No matter what happens, what comes, one thing is clear. If I am in the body or in the church which Jesus is building, Satan cannot do anything. The world system cannot do anything. Like once Brother Zach said like this, if there is a situation in Bangalore, the only one loaf of bread is there in Bangalore, and I'm a child of God, that bread somehow reaches my house. That's the confidence with which we have to live. But what is the responsibility? Keep myself in the authority or in the body of Christ. Ephesians 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. See, again it comes. See, we need each other. Why? Inside the body, maybe doctors can understand well, but there is a tremendous fellowship, tremendous cooperation, tremendous unity. The unity is not there, it will collapse. The body will collapse. If the cooperation is there, body will collapse. We are not here to help one, humanly help one another, not materialistically, not really that. We are here to contribute to each other's spirits, to be right with God. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. See, we become full or complete by fellowshipping with other believers, brothers and sisters. That's what it is saying. That's how Jesus is building. Somebody is so inconveniencing. That's fine, no problem. I find difficult with my wife, my husband. That's fine. Bear with one another. Somebody is weak, No church is perfect. No person is perfect. Everybody is imperfect. This is where we are tested. Are we willing to love despite of inconveniences? But Jesus did that. That is the body Jesus is building. And Jesus said, here, it's a paraphrase which Brother Zach has put in Good Foundation book. I would like to read that Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 20. There is tremendous power in unity in the church. Satan can be overcome only by a united church. Jesus said, if even two believers are totally one in their spirits, completely united, they can ask the Father for anything and their request will be granted. What a glorious hope we have. Because I am present in power wherever any two or three such united souls are gathered together by the Holy Spirit. And such a fellowship of believers can bind satanic forces in the heavenlies and on earth and thus restrain Satan's power. They can also release people from Satan's bondage through their prayers. That's why Satan brings division. You know why Satan wants to bring division? He knows once these brothers are united, sisters are united, families are united in Christ, and they are threat. You know what and all we just read, this is from the book Good Foundation. And that's how what Jesus was trying to say. And one more thing I would like to read. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Nevertheless, maybe I'll just read it here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Yeah, it says verse 18, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and they upset the faith of some. But see, he is talking about the lot of wrong teachings which is going on. Let it go on. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. See, there is a seal of those who are built by Jesus Christ into his church. He is building his church. These people will have this seal. This seal is like something like a coin. There are two sides to this coin. The one side, the seal, has the Lord knows who those who are his. That is a clarity that the Lord knows us. Those who have that clarity and assurance, there is a seal put on them. And there is another side. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. See, if I say, oh, I am known by the Lord, and what is the response or obligation or responsibility? The one who takes the name of the Lord to abstain from wickedness, the tremendous hatred to sin. However, how many times have I failed? We are called to get up and abstain from wickedness, every sort of sin. See, this is the two-sided coin which has two seals. This seal is put by the Lord. When he builds his body, that's how. He knows this child is mine and this child hates sin thoroughly. See, that's the mark of somebody who is built into the body of Christ. In fact, another verse I would like to read, Hebrews 2:11, where it says, for both he who sanctifies, see, there are two personality here, and there is a relationship between two personality. That is, he who sanctifies, that is the Lord, and those who are sanctified. See, the one, Jesus is the one who is sanctifying, and we are getting sanctified, are all from one Father. That is Father in heaven. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers. You know, we talk about fellowship. What we are aiming at, we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And how can I have relationship, or how can I be disciple? That I have those two seals. And one, I have a clear hatred to sin, love righteousness, and hate unrighteousness. And that I have an assurance that I am of the Lord. And then here it says, and the Lord is working in each one's heart to sanctify us. And he is the sanctifier. See, it's a very good relationship. We should have a relationship. That means I am ready. Lord, you want me to go through some situation? Yes, I am okay. Please, allow me. That was the spirit in Job. That was the spirit in Noah. That was the spirit in Jesus. All those who wanted to be witness, they recognized that God exists and I want to be a witness for him. That is the goal of my life. All the rest can wait. Oh, having a nice time? Yes. If the Lord permits, fine. Otherwise, that's not my goal. And then I am brother of Jesus or sister of Jesus. Otherwise, I have a name, but I don't have life. So then 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you, give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile for good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Means if you go on reading that chapter 3, Paul talks, even chapter 2, Paul talks about the sufferings which we have to go through, but we have to keep our conscience clean. How can I keep my conscience clean? Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart by giving the right place to the Lord. Sanctify means set apart, separated, or holy. And I have to keep the Lord in the right place. Like I said earlier, I have to put him on the throne. Keep him on the throne. For that, I have to get out of the throne of my own life. That is called sanctify the Lord. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. That's when the Lord will take things in control and he will help us. And when people revile, we will not revile. When people hate us, we will not hate, because we keep our heart right with God. And Paul, at the end, he said, I have fought the good fight. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Faith and good conscience. And also, in 1 Corinthians 6 also, he says, fight the good fight of faith. See, what is faith? If we say we have faith, I have an obligation to walk in a manner with which God has called me. And I have to keep that relationship. I have to keep my heart right so that I'll be built into the body of Christ. I come here with weakness. See, each one of us have come. We could have spent time in enjoying in the world. But why we have come here? Because we are weak. We are susceptible to sin. We are so much in danger. That's why in that weakness we have come here. Lord, I want to be built into your body. In the church you are building. I am so weak. On my own, I will defile my own life. Lord, I want fellowship. I want people who can help me, take care of me, guide me. I want to come under the authority. And I want to be in the body
which you are building. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for your goodness to us in reconciling us. Lord Jesus, thank you. You paid a high price, Lord, for that, and we rejoice in that. We rejoice. And also we rejoice in the fact that you have a wonderful future for each one of us, especially as a church, Lord. You have a wonderful future. Lord, the way you brought people and wonderful brothers and sisters, sincere brothers and sisters who want to love you and live for you, you have brought them and you are building them, and where Satan cannot have power. Thank you very much. We have a glorious hope. We rejoice in that. We commit ourselves, Lord. We want to live in fear and humility and honesty before you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.